DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code TBPN during signup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all of the daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code TBPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot of millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code TBPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. You're listening to SpursCast, episode 621. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Benjamin Bornstein and former Project Spurs writer Trevor Zickraff. In this episode, Ben, Trevor, and I will discuss the draft as it approaches Thursday in the coming week. Let's go ahead and get started. Ben, how are you doing?
I am great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Ben, we have a guest here. He's been on the SpursCast in the past with us, Trevor Zickraff. Welcome back. How have you been?
Fellas, it's like riding a bike.
Nice. Yes.
So yeah, so SportsCast listeners, you know, this is our pre-draft podcast. We really want to get two guys, Ben and Trevor, who really know the draft very well for years. You know, they were, you know, Trevor used to write with us at Project Spurs, and he went over to 48 Minutes of Hell, and then of course we have Ben here as our draft expert with Project Spurs. So I really wanted to get their insight on a lot of these picks. You know, going into this actual week of the draft. But before we do that, guys, let's go ahead and jump first into the latest news and rumors concerning the Spurs. This is more so for Keldon Johnson, Coach Pop. They did fall in their first game for Team USA against France in that Olympic opener of group play. They lost this morning. We are all recording this on a Sunday at 2:00. They lost 83-76 in a close game. They had multiple chances to take the lead late, but they couldn't hit any open shots. Keldon Johnson did play in two quarters, just 9 minutes. He grabbed a rebound. He had an assist and he had one foul. And again, he just played in the first and third quarter. The U.S. still has Iran on the schedule and then the Czech Republic in group play. And then all they really need to do is finish first or second in group play to get, you know, to move on in the tournament to try to get, you know, a medal. If they do get third, they still have a chance of moving on, but it's really tough if they get in that position. Did either of you have any comments about Team USA losing this morning?
Go ahead, Trevor.
Oh, I was just saying, I caught the second half, and so I saw France make their run, and then the U.S. come back and make their run. And I don't know, I thought there was just some late game execution stuff that they need to figure out. And yeah, I think they've all talked about needing to figure that out, but I didn't, you know, like watching Drew Holiday do Drew Holiday things was pretty great. And I think that's exactly what they needed on the perimeter. And you know, Durant and Lillard were both pretty bad. So was Zach LaVine. So I just feel like if even one of those guys had played up to expectations, then, you know, they're in good shape. I mean, it's not going to be an easy road, but I would still say they're the gold medal favorites.
Yeah, for sure. Ben, what did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they had a loss like this coming. I've thought for a long time that USA basketball doesn't put together teams that mesh well. They put together a bunch of disparate individuals and hope that it works out. And we're seeing that you can no longer get away with that, not only because these other countries have been playing together for so long, but now they're incorporating other NBA players, you know, other NBA caliber players. So it's not just, it's just, you know, 12 dudes from whatever country. It's, oh, okay, they have three or four NBA guys. They're legit. You have to take them seriously, and you can't walk into every game assuming you're going to blow people out. And the biggest issue they've seen so far is that they've been unable to make shots.
Yeah.
So, you know, that to me is the biggest problem. If you're going to come around here and you're just going to jack up threes and you're not hitting them, you're going to lose a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you could just see the lack of cohesion, just not knowing each other. I mean, they had three new players, brand new, who hadn't even played with them, and Chris Middleton, Devin Booker, and then also Drew Holiday, which Holiday actually had a really good performance. But I mean, there was just, you know, some late game execution things on offense, but then also on defense, you know, just backdoor cuts that they miss. And again, it comes back to the fact that, you know, if they're not hitting shots as well, that doesn't, that they're really, you know, don't have a lot of room for error here. And so we saw that, you know, again, they still have a chance to move on into the toward the medal rounds if they can, you know, get go 2-0 in these last two games against Iran and the Czech Republic. All right, let's go on to a rumor that's been going on this week, and there was just even more details just today. This is mutual interest between the DeMar DeRozan and the Los Angeles Lakers. So earlier this week, Broderick Turner of the Los Angeles Times reported that DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and Spencer Dinwiddie all have interest in joining the Lakers. Now, I don't know if that's all together or, you know, just one player specifically, because it's really tough to sign all those players or even two of those players. And then now Shams Charania, you know, basically verified this on Sunday, though. He basically said there's mutual interest because now the Lakers actually do have interest in those three players as well. So again, just focusing on DeRozan here because he is a Spurs free agent. We can say that, you know, Turner did say that report that DeRozan would be willing to take less than what he basically had this past season, which was $27.7 million. He's expected to get a contract in the range of like 25 to like 30 million would be his projection. So again, he's willing to take a pay cut, but they don't actually say how much of a pay cut he's willing to take, because the three options for the Lakers and DeRozan, if they wanted to work on a deal together, would be the MLE, which would be just $9.5 million. I don't think DeRozan would take that. The Lakers can see if the Spurs would be willing to work on a sign and trade. Well, then that gets interesting. Maybe Kyle Kuzma in the 22nd pick for DeRozan. And then the last one would be this is the hardest one, which would be the Lakers, you know, just trying to open up cap space, which means basically trading everyone but LeBron and Anthony Davis. And that's really tough to do without taking back salary. So let's start off with Ben here. Ben, did you have any thoughts about this? This report of DeRozan, the Lakers having interest?
Yeah, I too have interest in joining the Lakers. Both our chance, well, his chances are probably a little more realistic than mine, but it's like you said, they just don't have the space. And mm-hmm. if you really want to go out and you want to get a 30-plus-year-old DeMar DeRozan who doesn't really space the floor for you, and you want to give up a Kyle Kuzma in the 22nd pick to the Spurs to help you facilitate things, sure, by all means, go ahead. Because the Spurs aren't going to – I mean, they're probably going to try and re-sign DeMar DeRozan, but they're also not going to be terribly torn up if he ends up going somewhere else. And if they do a sign-and-trade where they get capital or they get something out of it, more power to them.
Okay. Trevor, did you have any thoughts there?
Just, I mean, actually, and one thing, Paul, I think – I don't know exactly what their books look like, but I think we're even talking about the taxpayer mid-level with the Lakers. I mean, I don't
– Yeah, no, it could be, which is like five.
I know they have like Schroeder and Caruso, and I mean, they've got a lot of cap holds, so I don't know. I don't know if they could get to, like, what they would have to do to get to the standard MLE.
Yeah.
And the taxpayer MLE is 5.8. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the max of a three-year contract at 18.5, so it's like – I really don't think DeRozan or Kyle Lowry, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they would really have to. I mean, are they going to rock, paper, scissors for who's taking the contract? And, you know, I would do, if I were just from a Spurs perspective, if DeRozan's camp came to the Spurs or the Lakers came to the Spurs and said, what would it take? I mean, I think you definitely would want KCP's expiring, because then either you keep him because he's a good shooter and he's a good defender and he's, you know, he doesn't need the ball a lot, or you're flipping him to a contender and maybe you're getting an extra asset out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm taking Kuzma back. He's got three years left on his contract.
Yeah, three.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's terrible. I mean, I think when Kyle Kuzma's bad, he's really bad. And since he's on the Lakers, like everything just gets like magnified. Yeah. I think he's pretty solid. Like, he's a good defender. It's not the worst deal, but I would also just in knowing that they're desperate, and I think Woj said that they've offered that KCP Kyle Kuzma deal to everybody, I would ask for at least one pick, probably two, to help facilitate. Yep. But I do think DeMar would be good on the Lakers just because he's a third, like he's so reliable, you know, like that guy never misses time unless he absolutely has to.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that more than anything is what they need. Like, so LeBron and AD can get rest. I don't know what it looks like in a half court setting in the playoffs, but I don't hate the fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he'd be going home, which is another big thing for him, I'm sure. Yeah. But if you can swindle, fleece the Lakers a little bit out of an extra pick or two, I think that's fantastic. Not to mention Kyle Kuzma is another front court player that the Spurs could use. They just do not have front court guys. So I think you're still filling a need there too. You're not just taking on a guy for the sake of doing so.
Yep.
Yeah, I think
totally
Yeah, I think if you can get the 22nd pick out of that, you know, whoever they draft, and then plus Kuzma, I think that's a good, you know, good deal for the Spurs if you are going to lose DeRozan, you know, if that's kind of the, so that's something to look at again. And also just seeing whatever DeRozan would sign for is really tough too, because then it, remember, any sign and trade hard caps the Lakers for the rest of the next season, which that's right. Very tough. So,
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, so, if DeMar would take like a 2-year $40 million deal, so $20 million a year, then you're even talking about, like, you could just say, give me KCP, a pick, and then Marc Gasol's expiring contract. Then you, I mean, basically, like, yeah. if you can keep your books relatively clean and help and get assets and help DeMar be happy, like, that just seems like a win all the way around. But yeah, I think it just depends on what DeMar wants from a contract perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That's kind of like, you know, they're saying, you know, he's willing to take a pay cut, but they don't exactly tell us how much of a pay cut, because again, I don't think a mid-level exception type of deal is enough for him. Let me just see here. KCP, yeah, $13 million. So him and Kuzma around the same. So yeah, either way, if the Spurs took one of those players, Kuzma or KCP in the pick, they could still have enough to offer John Collins a max offer sheet if they needed to at $28 million. So again, I think the Spurs have such open books that they can, you know, look at this type of scenario if that's in play, if DeRozan is serious about going to the Lakers. So again, we'll kind of see, you know, this is really going to heat up in this next coming week with the draft coming, then of course free agency coming right after that at the following week. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and begin now with our mega draft preview here. We're going to go ahead and look at the final Project Spurs draft board update, you know, as of today, Sunday, July 25th. You know, some mocks will update over the week, but in terms of being on SpursCast, this will be the last time we talk about these projections. So let's first focus on the first round. So what I have here is we have some players who are currently you know, on different mocks that are going to 12 to the Spurs. And then I also have their average on our Project Spurs draft board, where there's, you know, average draft selection for these players. So let's begin with our first player, who is a player we've mentioned here on the Spurs cast in the past, Moses Moody, 6'6 player out of Arkansas. He is perfectly average to go to 12 to the Spurs right now. So let's begin with Trevor. What are your thoughts on Moses Moody?
He's fine. I mean, he's good. I just think from a Spurs perspective, like, it's just, I don't know how many more, like, average to below average shot creators, like, they can take. And I think I get big Devin Vassell vibes from Moses Moody as far as a player archetype, which, like, it's not bad to have guys like that. But I also don't think he is, like, if he develops into Chris Middleton, which is also, like, what I see, like, a good archetype for Devin Vassell to try to, like, I just think that takes a lot of work, and it's not as easy as, oh, we'll just teach him how to pass, or just teach him how to play more. But, like, it's harder than we think. But he can shoot, he can defend, and so those are never bad players to. And he has length, so those are never bad players to have.
So if they took him 12, you say that's a fine pick, you know, for them.
I would be. Actually, my reaction would be exactly how it was with Vassell. I'm sure there would be somebody who went behind them, Halliburton last year, that I would be like, oh, I wish we had gotten that guy. But I also wouldn't take more than 5 minutes for me to talk myself into the pick.
Okay, Ben, what is your thoughts on if they took Moody at 12?
A very similar feeling. It's a fine pick. It's not a pick that should upset anybody by any means. It's not a reach. It's also not a swing for the fences. It's very much, all right, we know what this guy's about. Maybe if we develop a couple more skills of his, he turns into something more. But for the most part, 3-and-D guy, very good on the D, very, very solid with the threes. We're good to go. Kind of, you can plug and play a little bit. You know, then that's dependent on the free agent situation, of course.
Okay, so that's Moses Moody again. Well, he's perfectly right now, you know, on the average selection to go 12th. Let's go to another player who's, you know, we discussed here on the Spurs cast. Ben's kind of given us a lot of background on him. And this is Jalen Johnson, 6'9", big out of Duke. Right now, you know, some mocks have him at 12th, but he's on average supposed to go 15th. Ben, let's start off with you on Jalen Johnson. What would be your thoughts if the Spurs took him at 12th?
I feel like the more I read, the more Jalen Johnson becomes a home run pick. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, what you and I have discussed is a lot of the off-court red flags. And really, there's not a whole lot you know about what he does on the court. You know, he's great in transition. You can't really buy stock in his shot right now. He didn't take that many threes, and you know, to hit 60 or whatever percent it was is insane. It's incredibly small sample size theater, which you can't be watching. But again, a 6'9" long guy. front court player who fits needs that you have. So it's, I wouldn't be terribly excited about the pick, but I would be very understanding in that, okay, the Spurs are kind of taking a risk here. They're, you know, more of a risk at 12 than probably they've done in the past.
Okay. Trevor, what would your thoughts be there if the Spurs took Jalen Johnson at 12?
So I would initially, like, my initial just reactions pass. Like, I'm just, okay. I'm not about it, but you know, Ben's right. Like, there's a lot of raw materials there that you really like. I just don't know. Like, I also just don't know, like, with the Spurs as they're currently constructed, and let's just even take DeMar out of the picture, but just like, with DeJounte as your point guard and Jakob Poeltl as your center, and you know, let's say Keldon as your small forward. Like, those are three guys who don't space the floor. And if that's like a long-term core that you're going to have, unless you're teaching Jalen Johnson to shoot, which not great, like the mechanics just aren't great. Like, I just don't see that fit, especially in the half court. But I know I recognize that he's an open court beast and a good facilitator. So like, it's almost like if Jalen Johnson is a home run pick and then in a year, like, you think you're going to start building around him, then I think that makes more sense than let's just get the guy who, even, you know, taking upside into account, is going to fit in with everybody else that we have. Like, I don't know that he's that guy. And also, like, you know, I try not to, like, he's 19, so I try not to take all the attitude stuff into account, but it's like, I don't know, like, how is this guy going to deal with if he has to go to Austin for half a season? How's he going to deal with 10 minutes per game as a rookie? Yep. And
yeah,
like, I just don't know. Like, he doesn't seem like a guy that if the situation isn't right, that he adapts to it. He just kind of seems like he's more content removing himself from that situation, which isn't a bad, like, I don't think that's not necessarily bad, but also I don't think that's really going to fit with what the Spurs do. But again, he's 19. So I'm trying to not take that stuff into account, but you have to when you're picking 12th, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's why we've seen him kind of slip on draft boards, just because I think a lot of teams are, you know, they know that this is, like you guys have both said, y'all both mentioned the word risky. This is a bit of a risky pick, because if he doesn't hit as a home run or like start developing early, I mean, and some of those off-court issues did come out, I mean, it does look bad for the GM that drafts him. All right, let's move on to another player. We have another big man here, Kai Jones, 6'11 out of Texas. You know, on average draft selection, he's projected to go 16th. Trevor, how would you feel if the Spurs took him at 12th?
So this is my, in the sense that, and I've been tweeting about this for a while. I think the Spurs have enough guys who have, you know, like high level role player potential as their upside. So this guy is like my, like, all right, let's just swing for the fences. You can afford, you know, if it's coming down to get a guy who's going to be a good role player and just fit in somewhere, or just like, let's just trust our development system and just take a home run. This is, I love Kai Jones. Yes. I think the fact that he didn't really start playing organized basketball until he was like 14 or 15, I think that's a plus, because yes, he's 20, but just in terms of like learning the game, you still have so much more room to grow. And I think that this is a guy, you know, I think it was Jeff Garcia, our friend Jeff Garcia, was on a Zoom and said that Kai told him that he spent multiple days in San Antonio. I think those are things that you should read into in a positive way. I love the potential. I think he's, you know, like, I don't know how you can see, and I hate doing the Giannis comparison, but like, I just don't know how you can see with these super athletic big men, and let's put DeAndre Ayton in the mix as well, or I don't know how you could see them in the playoffs and not think, oh, we should stay away from those types of guys, especially if they're good kids.
Okay. Exactly. Thank you.
So, Ben, what would your thoughts be there if the Spurs took Kai Jones at 12?
You will find that Trevor and I think very similarly. But yes, I also think that Kai Jones is that home run swing. If you're going to take it, that's the guy you take it on. And the more I hate reading more and more stuff about all the potential guys at 12, because I always feel like John Hollinger is just a very angry man who doesn't like any prospects ever. So he's always finding things wrong with other guys. And then everybody else is kind of middle of the road, and they're just like, yeah, Kai Jones would be fine. He would be good at 12. Yeah. He would be a bit of a home run swing, but he has all these nice things going for him. And they mention, you know, yeah, he's got to work on, He's got to work on his shooting, being more consistent, whatever. Whereas John Hollinger's like, he'll never be consistent. He'll never be able to shoot. It's like, I need you to relax, man. But I guess I would be angry if I worked for the Memphis Grizzlies for that long too. But yeah, I like Kai Jones a lot. Like Trevor said, big man, super athletic, really gets up and down the floor, runs like a gazelle. I think the shooting is there. He has the beginnings of good mechanics, and that can be worked on. And again, trust your development staff and trust that you get him where you want him to be.
I also think that, like, you know, if I were like, I live in Sacramento. If I were the Kings, you know, I would understand that fan base being wary of taking a guy who needs a lot of work because the, I mean, it's a new front office every 3 or 4 years. It's a new, I would be, I think they really have to make the playoffs for Luke Walton to make it through this year.
Sure.
So it's always a new coaching staff. Their development system is not great. I think the turnover in the front office and on the coaching staff is helps exasperate that. So if I'm the Kings, I'd be nervous as hell about taking Kai Jones. If I'm trying to look at another team in this range, that, I mean, like, we don't
the
know
Hornets really before them.
Yeah, like, I don't, you know, like, these teams that don't, like, let's say he falls to 15 in the Wizards. The Wizards do not have a great track record for developing younger guys. Like, I understand why teams would be like, that's a stay away. But if I'm the Spurs and I believe in our developmental system and our coaching staff, then, yeah, that's a great thing for
me. Okay. Okay. So interesting. You both like Kai Jones. If they make, again, that would be like four picks before than what he's supposed to go. But again, you know, y'all both agree that that'd be a good pick.
I mean, crazier things have happened in drafts.
Yeah. Next player is Usman Garuba, 6'8" player out of Real Madrid, Spain. He just played with the national team recently in their exhibition game against Team USA. And so I actually got to watch him in that game, you know, against USA. Again, he just came off the bench, played a few minutes here and there. One thing you see is the physicality. You see the size there. That, I mean, he matches up well with NBA players already. He basically has like that NBA type body. He's a very raw player, you know, just does more of the hustle kind of plays on defense specifically. He's a good defender. Doesn't really give you much on offense. Right now, though, this would be like a stretch if the Spurs took him because he's projected to go about 19th. Let's start off with Ben on Garuba. What would be your thoughts be if the Spurs took him 12th?
I'd be a little wary. I mean, he is absolutely a guy you can put in right now, and he's going to be able to defend just about anybody in the NBA that you want him to, you know, at, you know, from like 3, 4, 5 position probably. But his offensive game is raw. It is hard to watch. It is almost non-existent. Some people are really high on him developing a shot. I don't know if I'm there. But this is going to come down to, I think if the Spurs end up selecting him, they're saying, we're going to focus on our defense right now first, and we'll worry about offense later, which personally, I think that's the wrong move. I think they should be focusing on, you know, how can we get guys in here who can contribute on offense? For me, it's preferably guys who can shoot, guys who can hit down, who can knock down shots, maybe create some for themselves. So for me, Usman Garuba is just not the pick. I would pass.
Okay, Trevor, what would your thoughts be if they took him at 12?
Yeah, similar thoughts. I mean, I really like Garuba. I think the defense is just, I mean, you know, he's one of the few that's going to be, he's definitely going to switch 1 through 4. He might even be able to switch 1 through 5, depending on who the big is. Like, I mean, Jokic or Embiid's going to put him in the basket, but otherwise, yep. Like, you know, there's plenty of other centers. You know, that's, I can't think of like 5 guys that he wouldn't do okay against. So I like that. I agree with Ben. The offense is just such a question mark. You know, I guess what I could see is if he's in a bench rotation with Patty, if he comes back, Lonnie, Vassell, and then whoever the 5 is, like, you know, so there's spacing all around and he can just kind of dive to the rim, and he's pretty good on the short roll. I could totally see that, but it's just like, yeah, like, is that the extent of it? Like, is he going to develop a jumper? I think I saw, you know, Draft Express and Mike Schmitz have been all over this, but the corner threes have been coming along a little bit this year, with Real Madrid, but it's not like, I don't know, man, like, you know, the line in the NBA is back just a little, just a touch. And so do those corner threes just become long twos? And I don't know, you know, so
yeah,
I wouldn't be mad, but at the same time, I'd probably would question with the current roster construction. I think I would question it. But again, like, I don't know what the hell this team's going to look like in 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah. Okay. So interesting. So next player here, and again, this is probably a player they take only if they were to move a guard like DeJounte Murray or Derek White, who we know that it's been reported they're, you know, they've been amongst they're gettable is the quote in that last report about Derek and DeJounte. Is Davion Mitchell, 6'2" guard out of Baylor. Right now he's projected to go 12th, you know, in that perfect, even though he's not on a mock for the Spurs right now. He recently was, and then he's like in that average selection is 12th perfectly. So Ben, go ahead and start off the conversation around Mitchell.
Yeah, the more I've read, the more I'm convinced he's not going to last until 12. I feel like there's three, maybe four teams who would pick him ahead of the Spurs because they are in much more desperate need of guard play, of good guard play. And this is a guy who's proven that he can defend at that level. He can now shoot. He's improved his shooting since he got to Baylor. And he has those leadership qualities you love to see. I mean, he was a huge reason that Baylor was as successful as they were and why they won the title. So for me, I think it's not a bad pick at 12. I'd actually say it's a pretty good pick at 12, but I'd also say that it's signaling somebody's on the move, if not more than one person.
Okay, interesting. Trevor, what would your thoughts be if they took him at 12, if he even falls to 12 and then they took him at 12?
Yeah, like if DeJounte or Derek got moved, then I would be like this. It just makes all the sense in the world, especially because like if you think about you know, like a guy like I know like Kyle Lowry's been a comp that he's I think that's a more realistic one, Ben. I don't know about you, like the Donovan Mitchell thing. Like I get it, like he wears 45. He is kind of he's pretty athletic, but like.
He's not a
6'10 wingspan.
Well, I don't think Davion Mitchell is as good a shooter as Donovan Mitchell either.
Yeah. So, but like as a Kyle Lowry or, you know, something like that, like just a guy that does not need the ball to be effective on offense, I totally buy him as that. You know, I even buy him as a third guard, as a lower upside thing. But yeah, like if you're saying we need to move on from one of our current guards, whether that's Murray or Derek White, or even Lonnie Walker, because he's extension eligible. And yeah. Like, I don't know if the Spurs are going to want to commit whatever Lonnie Walker's going to commit to if they can get someone on a rookie deal for another 4 years. But I mean, I really like him. I just don't, again, like where are you finding minutes for him? Like I just,
yeah,
I mean, and he's 22. He's going to be ready to play right away. So
and especially if it turns out you like Trey Jones and you want to give him minutes too.
Yeah. So I would be this player would be a fine pick is like a rating that Paul sent us. And I think he would be a fine pick, but he would just, I would be surprised if there wasn't if that wasn't the start of some dominoes falling.
Okay. So yeah, I agree with you guys. You know, if they were to take, you know, Mitchell, he's there at 12. I think it's because, you know, they're moving on from one of their guards or two of their guards maybe. All right, this next player, he just came in right at 12th right now on ESPN's latest mock draft. This is Alperen Şengün. I'm glad that I listened to a video from Mike Schmitz because I learned how to say his name. Yeah, Şengün has been saying it wrong for all these weeks. So anyway, he's a 6'9" big out of Beşiktaş in Turkey. Average draft is expected to go 13th, but again, ESPN just had him going 12th recently. Ben, let's go. Actually, let's let Trevor kick off the conversation. Yeah. With Şengün.
I like Şengün. I get from what I've watched, and I don't want to pretend like I'm a Şengün expert, but like what I've watched, like I do get some good Domantas Sabonis vibes from him. I think, like, again, like we're doing Jokic comps, and it's like, all right, that's just mean to these guys. But you know, the defense is scary, man. Like I think his offense is gonna be fine. I think he's a better passer than he's shown. I think he's gonna be able to space if he needs to. Just awesome offensively, but he definitely can't play four, and so then you're just he's rough on defense right now. I don't like he's an intelligent guy, like he seems to have good instincts and everything, but like it's very clear that he has not been taught a ton on offense or on defense. And he's a big he's a young big, so that's not atypical, but like he also doesn't have this overwhelming athleticism. That makes up for that early. So I just don't, I mean, I would be on board with him, but at the same time, like if he becomes just your backup center getting 15 minutes a game because he just cannot stay on the court defensively against
first teams units or first teams.
Like, so I, that's, I mean, I, it is not an original thought. The defense scares me.
Okay. Ben, what would your thoughts be if Şengün was selected at 12th by the Spurs?
Yeah, the defense is atrocious. It's, you know, I get that shooting makes up for a multitude of sins, but I don't know if it makes up for that many sins with Şengün. And he's not a spacer yet, but he's shown flashes that he can get out there and he will eventually become a spacer. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll probably be a matter of 1, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 at the very worst. But yeah, if you, especially playing for Popovich, if you can't defend anybody and you're going to be a complete liability on that end of the floor, you're just not going to play. Yeah. And you can't spend your 12th pick on a guy who's not going to break the rotation because he's incapable of playing defense on anybody. So to me, it's, you're really, and your defense, the Spurs, if you're the Spurs, your defense was already suffering at the rim. I mean, Jakob Poeltl is a great defensive player, but he is trying to cover up for a lot of deficiencies elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And
you probably cannot play Şengün and Poeltl against most teams.
Not at all. So if you essentially put him out there and he's kind of on an island with the second string center, and I imagine that second unit would get destroyed by a lot of others because they're unable to protect the rim properly.
Okay. Interesting. So yeah. So those are the players right now currently on, you know, different mocks or they're projected to go 12th exactly on our Project Spurs draft board. Now let's just look at some players that are kind of in the like 10th through 14th range. So the first player let's talk about here is Josh Giddey, 6'8" player out of Adelaide, Australia. He's currently almost on every mock. He's supposed to go 10th, but in the event that he fell to 12th, Ben, what would be your thoughts if he did fall to 12th and the Spurs took him?
That's, you're going to really make the Spurs make a choice. He's kind of that. He's 6'8". He's not a great shooter right now, but he does a little bit of everything else. He's a really nice. He's kind of point forwardy. He's a good passer. He can handle the ball well enough to run your offense for you. He can run. He can handle enough to kind of get his own shot. But he's not an efficient shooter, and the defense is going to be serviceable, which is fine. But to me, I think I would say my gut would tell me pass on him at 12.
Okay. Trevor, what would your thoughts be there if Giddey falls to 12 and they took him?
I really like Giddey. I think, like, at worst, he's running your second unit. Like, I mean, I'm just imagining, like, you know, the next couple of years, like him, Patty, Lonnie, Vassell, and then again, pick your backup center, your backup big, your backup fifth guy. And like, then you're not putting too much pressure on Lonnie or Patty to be anything more than just, like,
guys who
spot up, guys who attack closeout, stuff like that, because Giddey's going to be able to at least be a second unit ball handler. And if he can get his shot working, I think he's got more. Like, I think I saw he's up to 220 pounds now. So if you're 6'8", 6'9", 220, like, you can bang in the post, and he's a good rebounder for his, you know, for his position, which is, I guess he runs point in Australia. I don't think he'd run point just from a traditional sense in the NBA, but I like him. Yeah, I think just get the shot working. I don't, it's like one of those things where I don't know that he totally fits what the Spurs do right now, but there's enough talent there to just kind of figure it out. He would give you some positional flexibility. So that's good.
Okay, interesting. Let's go on to another player here. We have Keon Johnson, 6'5", out of Tennessee. He's projected right now to go 13th. Let's start off with Ben here. Ben, what would your thoughts be if they took Keon Johnson 13th?
Keon Johnson, a fantastic defensive guard. He will shut down any 1 and 2 you put against him, or maybe not your top tier all star guys, but still, he's a very reliable defender. Super bouncy. I think he just recorded the highest max vertical leap at the combine in its history. I think it was like 48 inches. So the kid is a superb athlete, but the offense is rough. He didn't really start getting consistent minutes for Tennessee until about halfway through the season. And that's also when he became a starter. So he had a larger role thrust upon him as well. And I don't think he was quite ready for it. And it showed at times. So for me, he's a guy you bring in to complement to help a Patty Mills out, who's going to struggle against guarding a lot of other perimeter players.
Okay. Trevor, what would your thoughts be if they took Keon Johnson at 12?
Yeah, I don't know what he does on offense right now. what does a year in Austin do for him? And are you comfortable doing that at 12? I mean, yeah. If you really like him, then sure. But I just don't know what he does on offense right now. I don't. It's all so raw. And again, you're talking about a guy who is 6'5". He's functionally, he's a shooting guard or a small forward, if we're going to use those labels. So sure. Where are you getting him minutes if it's not Austin? And if that's the case, I just don't know what you're doing. I just don't know where you're fitting him in.
Okay. Interesting. So the final player here in this segment is like in the 10th through 14th range is Corey Kispert, 6'7" player out of Gonzaga. This is a player, Trevor, that Ben likes to call professional shooter. So he's projected to go 14th right now on our average selection. So Trevor, go ahead and kick off the conversation if they took Corey Kispert at 12th.
I like Corey Kispert. I think he is what he is. He's a professional. He's right. You're right, Ben. He's a professional shooter, and he's going to, he's going to make the guys who need to get with the ball in their hands better. I think he's perfect. He's going to be a perfectly fine defender. Yep. I think I wouldn't be wild by the pick, but I also would just kind of be like, all right. I mean, there's probably going to be some guys who are going to go after him that end up being better players, but it's solid.
Okay. Ben?
Yeah, I think he's the fit that the Spurs need right now. They need a guy who can space the floor for everybody else, and he's a great shooter. He's shown that he can attack closeouts a little bit at Gonzaga, and I think that's something he can work on. And like you said, he'll be a serviceable defender. I think he's actually put on a little bit of weight, so he can hang around and bang a little bit if he needs to with some of the bigger threes. But I talk about Cam Johnson as well, and I will say Cam Johnson is, even when he was coming out at his age and the Suns got him at 11, there was a lot of talk about that's not a guy they should have gotten 11. He could have been had like 10 picks later, whatever it was, but he's earned that 11 slot, if you ask me. Yep. And I think Corey Kispert can do something similar. I don't think he's as good a shooter as Cam Johnson. The form's a little different, and Cam Johnson has turned into a really nice defender, actually. But if Corey Kispert can get to maybe a step two steps below what Cam Johnson is right now, I think it's a good pick. And like Trevor said, it's not something that might wow you, but I think it's the right pick at that fit.
Okay. Interesting. So again, these are the players that are currently on our Project Spurs draft board, or like in that range of 12th of right now for the Spurs. All right. So now, I prepared this question for you guys a little bit earlier, in our show notes. It was just basically the question of in a perfect draft. And again, realistically speaking about players kind of in that 12th range, who would be your top three picks that you want for the Spurs? Let's go ahead and open up this question with Trevor first. Who would be your top three players if they fell to the Spurs and they were available there at 12th? Go ahead.
Well, I would like to reiterate my confidence in Kai Jones. Okay, so Kai love Kai. Do think that he's just like you can. I think he's. I actually do think long term. He's, because he's athletic enough, I think he's probably going to be a four long term. I think I know. Like, if you're 6'10", we just automatically say you're a five now. But I do think he's just one of those guys that can move around however you need him to theoretically. So he's one. I really like Franz Wagner. Ben, I don't know if we've talked about Franz Wagner offline, but I just think
Trevor's going to have all three of my picks. I just know it.
I might. Oh, well, I don't know. I might go wild card on number three, but if you can get Franz Wagner to like a 38% 3-point shooter off the catch, or off some curls, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. I think he's just going to be dynamite. I think the defense is underrated. The athleticism. I seriously think that we think because he's a sophomore, even though he's only 19, and because he's white, we just assume that there's no athleticism there. I think he's athletic. I think he's going to be able to defend, at least 2 through 4 in the league. And I think he's going to do it at a really high level. And he's a really good passer. I think I told someone if he's kind of a hard guy to comp, but young Boris Diaw, maybe a little bit smaller, but that's what he reminds me of. And then three, is James Booknight too high for us to say that's a realistic spot at 12?
I mean, maybe, yeah, but yeah, you're right. He's just really tough. Gone up the boards right now. He's going to be on our next conversation here. He's ninth right now projected, but
if James Book type falls, that's another one. Like, I don't know where you play him, but I actually think like, he's just like, I don't know, like again, like, and maybe this is just recency bias of watching the finals and watching 6'5 guys who can create their own shot, just figure it out. So like Devin Booker figured it out. Chris Middleton's bigger, figured it out. So maybe I'm just letting what I saw in the playoffs, it really influenced my brain, but, I really like James Booknight. And, if we're saying he's too high, then I do think Josh Giddey is a good fit, because I do think there's enough upside there that you can say like, all right, you're going to be our ninth man for right now, but let's see what we can do with this.
Okay, so you say Kai Jones, you said what's Franz Wagner?
Franz Wagner,
and then James Booknight or Josh Giddey. Again, the last three players you mentioned there, those we have to see if they even fall to 12, because right now
Booknight just depends, because like I could absolutely see Booknight going 6 or 7.
Yeah, so those three players, but aside from Kai Jones, the other ones aren't safe that they would even be there at 12. Ben, who would your top three players be if they're available at 12?
James Booknight is not one of mine, but I have seen him mocked to the Magic in quite a few drafts, actually, for what that's worth at 8 after they take Scottie Barnes at 5, which would be quite the combo if you ask me. But it's okay. The Magic are going to find a way to screw it up like they do every year. That's, nothing new. Someone who grew up in Orlando, this is what I know now. But for me, I think my top three for the Spurs, Kai Jones, like Trevor said, Franz Wagner, absolutely, if he falls there. And I really am high on Corey Kispert. Like it's okay. Weird. Like if they pick him, I'm not going to be like over the moon. I'm not going to be jumping up and down in my living room, but I'll be like, yes, I think they made a good choice. This is a solid choice. I'm happy with this pick. So that's what that is for me. And like Kai Jones, like we discussed, if you pick a Kai Jones, like, all right, great. They're taking a risk. They're swinging for the fences. This is nice. And then I think Franz Wagner is kind of your very, very safe pick. Like Trevor said, he is versatile on defense. He's a good shooter, although I would like to see if he's a good shooter on much more volume, because he didn't take a whole lot of threes at Michigan. But he is younger than people realize, and he probably has a better basketball pedigree than people realize. He is the brother of Mo Wagner, who is currently in the NBA, so he may have a better idea of what the NBA life is like than some of these other prospects.
Okay, so again, those are Ben's top three players right there as well. So again, those are again in the perfect scenario who they would want, Trevor and Ben. Let's go to now just a quickly a kind of a hypothetical kind of question here. And this is, what if the Spurs were to try to trade for ninth or tenth to move up just a little bit? And is it even worth doing? So the reason why I bring this up is because with all the cap space the Spurs are going to have, they're in position to take some of these contracts that some players are that some teams are trying to get rid of along with their picks. So Woj recently mentioned that New Orleans is trying to move Eric Bledsoe or even Steven Adams with the 10th pick, to try to preserve some cap space so they could try to make a run at free agents. And then he also reported just Sunday that, the Kings might be willing to look at moving ninth along with either Buddy Hield, who has $22.7 million this coming season, plus two more years on his contract, or Marvin Bagley III, who's making $11 million right now in this coming season, but then he's going to be a restricted free agent next offseason. So, and again, the Spurs would be able to do this. And if they took, Bledsoe or Bagley, and then they also got the ninth or 10th pick, well, then they could still have pretty good amount of cap space. Like, let's just say they want to throw an offer sheet to John Collins. That's still very doable. If they did decide to take Hield, though, that makes it tougher. They probably want to be able to, in the John Collins sweepstakes anymore, to try to send him an offer sheet. So I guess let's start off with Trevor here. Is it even worth, the Spurs even looking to move up to ninth or 10th or just kind of staying pat at 12? What are your thoughts there?
So when you – so, okay. So are we saying they would flip 12 – for 10 plus Eric Bledsoe, or are we saying they would just trade for 10 and Eric Bledsoe?
No, I think just trade for 10 and Eric Bledsoe. Like taking your help. So for New Orleans' case, you're helping them just open cap space. Sure. However, Sacramento, I don't even know if Sacramento would do these deals, just because, again, they haven't really been talking about what Sacramento exactly wants to do. But I just heard Woj mention that they're looking at moving 10. And like I said, Buddy Hield or Marvin Bagley are the players. Go ahead.
And also the Kings are inept, but go on.
Yeah. So I think I would do that Bledsoe deal, because I thought that he had 4 years left on his contract, but it's this coming year and then a $3 million guarantee the next year. And like, that's like, I don't know, like, especially like, because you're right, like, you could still do Collins or Jared Allen or name a big guy that you would want to throw an offer sheet at, and then you pretty much just can roll some cap space to next summer, which isn't terrible. So yeah, I actually think I would do that, because then, yeah, like, you could get Gideon Kai-Jones, you could get Franz Wagner and Corey Fisper, you could, like, whatever you want, like, it just opens up the possibilities. You know, maybe I would try to get one of those Lakers swaps, or like, just like get like something else, because the Pelicans have a decent amount of picks. But maybe that's being greedy. With the Kings, I don't know. Like, I'll tell you what the Kings might be wanting to do. They might be interested in some Jakob Poeltl action, because they think they're going to lose Rashawn Holmes. And
I think they are for sure.
They do not have a backup center in place, and I don't think, like, as much as I like Şengün, like, I don't think with everything else that the Kings don't do on defense, like, that's not the answer. So yeah, like, I mean, I'm an open book on the Spurs offseason. Like, whatever they're going to do aside from, I think they know they can't just run back what they have.
Yeah.
Like, even if they bring back DeMar, I think, like, they're going to have to do something else. And they have the flexibility to do it. So yeah, I would do either of those. And then, yeah, like, I'm taking Wagner or Book Knight, or if something crazy happens and Kuminga falls, I'm taking Kuminga. Like, okay. I don't think Jonathan Kuminga is going to fall past
five. Right? Yeah. I was going to say five, but
like, Ben, doesn't that seem like, depending on what they do at five, like, if then he just tumbles to eight, you have this extra lottery ticket basically. And you're just going to take the guy with the most upside.
Yeah. But if he falls but the funny thing is, if he gets past the Magic at five, they have a second opportunity at him at eight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
you get two swings at it, you might as well take the guy with the super high upside. But
right, you have to. Yeah, if you're the Magic, you have to really be sure that no one's going to take him at six and seven, so that you can get him slotted at eight as far as salary goes. You know, it's not a whole lot of difference, but it's enough to probably make a difference down the road.
But something wacky happens every year, and like, Tyrese Haliburton fell to 12 last year. I thought Tyrese Haliburton was going to go to the Hawks at like six, and I think Okongwu is a great pick. I loved Okongwu last year, Onyeka Okongwu. But I was like, man, like, get Trae Young some defensive help in the backcourt, get an extra playmaker, like, this makes sense. And then he just tumbled, and I was like, oh shoot.
That's the thing, like, with Keon Johnson, he might tumble to that Hawks range. I've seen him mock to the Hawks a few times because of his defense.
Yeah,
he'll be able to learn some things from Trae Young probably.
But
as far as offense goes,
short version of that answer, Paul. Yes, I would. I would be open to taking some extra salary or whatever to get an extra lottery pick.
Okay, Ben, what would your response be there if it was available? The opportunity.
I'm sorry, I would not do Buddy Hield. That's too much money.
Yes, okay, no to Buddy Hield. Yes,
no offense to Buddy Hield.
No to Buddy Hield, because he would be incredibly, he wouldn't be super redundant. He would probably become the best shooter on the team, but that's also just too many guards. You'd have to be giving up guards in that case too. But for me, I mean, yeah, if you're getting an extra lottery pick, absolutely do it. And I would say take on Marvin Bagley, one, because it's a position of need, and two, he needs a change of scenery bad. I think a change of scenery would do him a lot of good with, like, good, real coaches. Sorry, not sorry, Sacramento. But I think him seeing how professionals play and practice and work would be a breath of fresh air for him, and he would have a better understanding of, oh, that's what it's going to take to really make it in this league and get my next contract. And who knows, you might find yourself a motivated Marvin Bagley, and now your front court problem is kind of solved, or at least you're on the way to solving it.
Okay, so interesting. I both agree. You know, probably aside from a heel, you guys would be okay with them acquiring a player plus trying to get the ninth or tenth pick, you know, with some salary there.
Right. Yeah, just keep your salary sheet clean for next summer.
Yeah. And so, again, I don't know if the Spurs would have to send the 12 out right now. I don't think that, because, again, I think these teams are just trying to get as much cap space open as possible. So, and so that's the situation San Antonio finds themselves in. You know, they don't have to go out and sign all these players. They could actually be the team that, that teams dump salary to. So that's going to be interesting to watch, you know, this coming week with the draft coming up. All right. So now for our final topic, let's discuss the second round just a little bit. You know, second round is really tough to gauge just because, you know, players are all over the map here. So I just have a few players where different mocks have them. And then I'm going to tell you their average, you know, position, I mean, not position, draft status, where they're supposed to go. Let's start off first with them. You know, BJ Boston, he's 6'7" out of Kentucky. He's mocked to go 38th right now. So just a few picks before the Spurs at 41 in the second round. Let's begin with Ben here. What would your thoughts be if they took BJ Boston at 41?
I think it'd be a really nice sleeper pick, especially because so many people are down on him after that horrible year at Kentucky, which I think, I know it's crazy to say that an entire season was a fluke, but I honestly believe that entire season for him was a fluke. I mean, it was a fluke for Kentucky. They're never going to lose that many games ever again. I guarantee that. That will not happen in our lifetime. Especially if Calipari stays for a few more, he could keep going forever. It's both his greatest asset and his greatest weakness. But he's a guy who will never want to ever stop if he can keep going. But to me, I mean, him coming out of high school, he was just such a smooth shooter, and he got his shot almost anywhere he wanted on the court. And I have to believe that he was held back at Kentucky because he was trying to play in a much more team-friendly environment where, you know, he's not he doesn't have to be the focus of the offense. You have other dudes. But at 41, I don't hate that pick at all. I like that pick, and I think maybe he's a guy who spends time in the G League, but he's also kind of at that size where, you know, maybe we can use him in spot minutes here and there and see what he's got, see what he can give us.
Okay.
It depends on how strong he can get, how big he can get.
Yes.
What amount of time, because he's just real thin right now. Like he's
absolutely
like on the Kevin Durant rookie year. But like not 6'10". He's actually 6'7", you know.
He could have some slim reaper in him.
Yeah. So what would your thoughts be, Trevor, if they took him at 41?
I like even more so than what they should do at 12, at 41, it's like, man, like who, like this was my opinion last year when they took Trey Jones. Trey Jones was supposed to go in like the late first round. So yeah, like if he falls to you, just take him, because that's more talent than you should be able to get at 41. Feel that way about BJ Boston. I feel that way about, I'm going to cheat and look at Paul's list that he sent us here. I feel that way about Isaiah Todd. Pretty much, I don't know much about the French, the French guard, that you have on here, Bégarin, but I probably just butchered that name too, but like, yeah, like all these guys, I'm like, man, if they're there 41, like, sure. Like Isaiah Todd, Herb Jones is a menace on defense. Just teach him some. Like, I mean, he seems like a guy that will be perfectly happy to find a role and stick to it. Same with Jeremiah Robinson. Earl, sorry, Paul, I'm just totally jumping the gun.
No, that's okay. Because actually, I was going to say. So let's just do a quick summary of all the players, and then you guys can kind of just
and David Johnson. Ben, back me up on David Johnson here. Like, is he just like a jumper away from being a pretty good guard?
Yeah, he's. I mean, basically, he was Louisville had a weird situation too. They didn't really have go-to guys on offense. They were a very weird offense. I think it was the first year under a new coach. So they had some stuff they were figuring out as well, which probably hampered David Johnson at times, because he had that was at least his second coach that he played under at Louisville, because he played under guy whose name I'm forgetting, Padgett, I think. Before that, he was there for a year after Rick Pitino retired, and then they got I think he was interim, and they said, we'll get another coach. So he had David Johnson played under two coaches, which might have affected how he played as well. But yeah, I mean, he's probably a consistent jumper away from being a really solid guard. He handles the ball really well for the offense. He can get you into your sets. He's gonna guard guys. He's gonna be tough. Louisville always produces tough guards.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna go through the list real quick, and then Ben, I'll have you just kind of give you if there's, you don't have to talk about all the players, but just specifically players that stick out to you that you would be okay with the Spurs taking 41. So yeah, we talked about BJ Boston, 6'7" out of Kentucky. He's projected to go 38th. Isaiah Todd, 6'10" out of the Ignite G League team. He's projected to go 37th. We have Herb Jones, 6'8" out of Alabama. He's projected to go 40th. Johan Begerin, I don't know if I say his name right, 6'5" out of Paris, France. He's actually perfectly averaged to go at 41st of the Spurs. We have Jeremiah Robinson Earl, 6'9" out of Villanova, projected to go 43rd. We have Kessler Edwards, 6'8" out of Pepperdine, projected to go 47th. And then this is a late addition, was David Johnson, who you all just spoke about. I didn't even have time to check his other draft rankings because, you know, ESPN just really released right before we recorded their latest mock draft. So Ben, you don't have to talk about all these players, but is there anyone there that sticks out to you in this group?
If Jeremiah Robinson Earl or Herb Jones fall to 41, I would be ecstatic with either of those picks. I wouldn't hate Kessler Edwards either. The more I watch him, the more I like him. He's an older guy and he's 6'8", and people aren't really sure what position he plays. He's kind of a tweener, but I mean, if you get Herb Jones, you're getting a guy who can play defense on just about anybody. He's got arms for days. He's an okay shooter. He ran the offense for Alabama at times. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, you know, another classic Villanova guy, really smart player, plays hard, plays the game the right way. If he was an inch or two taller, people would probably be talking about him as a first round draft pick. But he does have to shore up his 3-point shooting.
Okay. And then, so I'm going to go back to that question from the first segment here. And it's just basically, you know, being realistic here, who would be your perfect player at 41? Trevor, who would be your perfect guy if that player was at 41?
I mean, depending on what they did at 12.
They don't have to be on this list, by the way. They could be.
Yeah. No, depending on what they did at 12, I feel like either Isaiah Todd or Jeremiah Robinson Earl, just because I feel like those are, I mean, Todd's not even that small, but like, those just feel like guys who are like, maybe they're a little undersized for their position, but they just, to me, they just, and Herb, I would throw Herb Jones in this too, but like just guys who are going to figure it out. Like they're going to find the, they're going to figure it out and they're going to stick to that role. And let's say Robinson Earl or Isaiah Todd. I think either of those guys, like just if they're sitting there, I don't even think twice about it. Like I'm whatever the version of taking the card up to the commissioner is this year, I'm doing it.
Okay. All right. So Ben, same question to you. You know, it doesn't have to be a player from this list, but being realistic about the 41st selection, who would be your perfect player if that player was available at 41?
Yeah, it absolutely depends on who they take at 12. I think if you take a big man, like if you take a Kai Jones at 12, I think the perfect pick is a Herb Jones or a Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Or if you take a shooter like a Corey Kispert, then I think you take a swing at Isaiah Todd and kind of say, you know what, there might be, depending on what we do in free agency, there might be opportunities for you to play right away in the NBA because, I mean, he already played in the G League 1 year. You saw what he did against other grown men. Granted, it was only 13 games, but you kind of have you have some decent data points to work with there, and you can kind of figure out, all right, is this guy going to be playable with Pirtle? Is he going to come off the bench perhaps? You know, what kind of players can we surround him with and play with him, and how would they all mesh? So I think I'd like Isaiah Todd if you go with a shooter as the 12th pick, and then probably Herb Jones, Jeremiah Robinson Earl if you get a Kai Jones at 12.
Okay.
We should also mention, Paul, there's a kid out of Belgium named Vrens Blijnberg.
Yes.
6'10" small forward, and like let's just throw his name out there.
He's a guy that the Spurs, I think, like, yeah, they
worked him out. Ultra-sized wing. I mean, you know, he's moving up the boards, and I think I just feel like we should just say his name because otherwise we will be crushed for not saying his name.
Nice. Yeah. So let's throw out, you know, Vrens that you mentioned there, who's projected to go 47th. Also the guy at the Spurs, Rokas, I've seen him on some mocks. Rokas Jokubaitis. Ben helped me say his name last time. So yeah, let's make sure we address that. And then they just worked out this other dude, Georgi Bezon Ishili or something. I can't get that name right. So anyway, yeah. So let's just make sure we cover our international case. They take a second round pick on the national prospects. All right. So don't forget to visit projectspurs.com. Spurscast listeners. Also, you know, check out Ben's latest prospect watch as the draft approaches. The latest one was on JT Thor. Ben, do you want to give the listeners just a little bit of summary of JT Thor?
Absolutely. He is a god of thunder. Boom. Done. Nailed it.
I saw that on Twitter.
no, but in all honesty, he's still developing. He's a freshman at Auburn last year, started to really catch on at the end of the season. He's 6'9". He's really long, good athlete. The shot is developing. He's going to be a good defender. He is great in transition as well. So JT Thor at 41 would not upset me at all.
Okay, yeah, and he's projected to go about, I see 34th here, and some mocks even have him going to the first round, late first round, 29th, 30th.
I will say he did a lot of good for himself at the combine. He tested really well and he played well.
Okay, interesting. And I know Josh Primo is a guy who's been kind of climbing up boards just because of how well he played at the combine. Trevor, did you have any thoughts on JT Thor?
Not a ton. I haven't watched nearly enough of as much as I probably should, but I do think think when we figured out that Marvin Williams was just kind of a 3-and-D jumbo size wing who could just play some 4, play some 5, maybe step out and guard some 3. Like, it's just kind of what he reminds me of. So there's not we're probably overblowing his upside as a scorer and everything, but he's probably going to do some good stuff in the league.
Okay. All right. So that's JT Thor that Ben wrote about there on our Project Spurs, on Project Spurs. So you can check out the latest prospect watch. I've continued to look at the free agents coming up. So Trey Lyles is the latest free agent for the Spurs that I wrote about. And then, of course, the 2021 draft prospect boards from Project Spurs is continuing to be updated anytime any kind of new mock comes out or report that the Spurs worked out a certain player. Also, thanks again to Ben and Trevor for joining me here on the Spurs cast and to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.